Good Saturday morning to everybody. Welcome to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show, along with the Director of Family Services, Chris Radlitz. I'm Gary Byron. Chris, how are you there, my friend?
I am doing really well. How are you, Gary?
Not doing too shabby. How was your, I noticed you got a little bit of color. You looks like you got some, are you out in the sun?
No, I think it must be blood pressure.
Yeah, it's your blood pressure. No, I bring that up because, spring has sprung. I mean, I know it technically it got here the end of March, but it's only been as of late that the temperatures have been, reasonably okay. You got out in that sun.
I did.
And you feel it.
Because last weekend I got out and played some pickleball.
Oh, there you go.
Which I'm highly addicted to because I just love playing the game. And it was sun and shiny, and, I sometimes fail to wear sunscreen, so my face gets all nice and red, and that's what it is. So you've got a little bit of color showing through from my time outside.
Are you a person that prefers one time of year more than another?
You know what? I have found as I have started to get older, I do not appreciate the cold weather very much anymore.
Which is winter, why people your age move down south.
Wait a second. Hold on. What does that mean? I was a big skier. My whole family, big skiers, always. So the cold weather to us was a great time. We loved it. And my wife is still a big skier. I'm more of a lodge bunny. I've kind of stopped the whole skiing thing.
Did you like head out to Vail or something? Or?
No, not so much. We go up to Lake Placid and ski Whiteface Mountain, which is just an awesome slope, from the northeast.
Yeah. You don't do it anymore.
Well, I can't. I had a neck operation a year and a half ago.
I remember that.
Yeah. Right. So I can't do anything like that I can take a tumble and create a problem for myself. So.
Of course not. We wouldn't want to see you in that condition again. You were in a lot of pain, I remember.
Yeah, it was not fun.
No, I
it was not
imagine.
Fun. But it's okay now. So, good thing about spring, though, is that if you look around the cemeteries now, man, you should see. Everything's starting to grow and bloom, and the flowers are coming out, and the grass. Of course, everybody's like, okay, it's time to mow the grass every single day.
Have you mowed your lawn yet?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, absolutely.
I just did it for the first time.
Just did the first application of, stuff that you got to put down to make sure that it continues to grow. So, yeah, got that done. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's it. Back in yard maintenance facilities.
Speaking of yard maintenance, what is that? What is cemetery maintenance? What does it entail? Because it's not just mowing the lawns and planting, but I mean everything is so well manicured. I mean, you've got professional. They're not contracted landscapers, I would imagine.
Oh, yes, there are.
They're not employees because there's
it's
every
both.
Day.
It's a combination. So all of the lawn cutting and all that's all contract. That's our own employees. But we have many special areas within cemeteries that have got flower beds, that have got hedges and hedgerows. So all of those bases are all mulched and done. That's all done professionally. Has to be.
Nice.
Yeah, it's just too much.
Yeah.
Too much work.
I was going to say, it's seldom I ever walk on to a cemetery and things just don't look so well manicured. I mean, it's almost like I don't care what day you go there. You go on there on a Tuesday or you go on a Friday, it looks like the lawn was just mowed.
We have really, honestly, since I've been here last 7 years, we have really done a lot of work to try and maintain these cemeteries so that they are a place where you feel, one, very comfortable laying your loved one to rest, and two, it's a place of joy that you can come and visit and enjoy your time there. So one of the big issues, that people find, what they don't realize is, you have these big lawnmowers, okay? These big lawnmowers are running up and down the grass every single day because our cutting season, when we start cutting, we're cutting every day. Because it's too big.
So,
there's just too much. So you can't just cut one day a week, 2 days a week. You're cutting every day because you have different areas of the cemetery that have to be cut. That's the first thing. Now, think about all these headstones that you see, right? Well, that's all got to be weed whacked, okay? So you're talking about teams of people whose only job is from 7:30 in the morning until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They're weed whacking all day long, every single day, okay? It's a huge amount of work because, a lawnmower can only come so close to a monument. Can't get too close because you can't hit the monument, okay? So you have to have guys with weed whackers going around trimming each and every single monument. You want to talk about
tedious. It's tedious.
God bless them how they do it, okay? But then you also, you've got these heavy machines driving, right? Well, you have, a lot of people have flush markers for monument, for memorials, right? Flush markers are the 2-foot by 1-foot granite, 4-inch granite slabs that have got names on them and stuff.
Yeah. In lieu of a headstone.
Right. Or in conjunction with, depending on the type of layout you have. Well, you know what? That thing running over that over and over and over and over, they sink. They sink. They sink. They sink. They all have to be raised up. Now, there's hundreds of thousands of these in our cemeteries. And every spring, that's what we're doing. We're raising all these back up. People come in and say, I can't find my headstone. It's buried in the thing. Yeah, I know. And you go to Benedict across the street, which has a big of a, some water issues because of the just the natural landscape of the place. You know, that's, you'll raise them up, and a month later, they're sunk again. I mean, it's just, it's crazy.
You know, we talk about spring, and we talk about weather, we talk about landscaping, but, you know, you also, in conjunction with that, is planting, the planting season, in beautifying these cemeteries with flowers and other, and plants. And,
right.
I would imagine that there's a lot of planting going on at the cemeteries as well.
Absolutely. There's plantings that's going on. One of the interesting thing is, you know, this was just, we just passed, well, we're still in Easter season, but we just passed Easter Sunday, Palm Sunday. You know, go into the cemeteries, you'll see palm crosses everywhere, okay? Well, you know, guess what?
Someone's got to pick those
up. You know all those big lawnmowers going around? Well, we can't run over these things, right? So what do? Again, it makes it really difficult because families want to memorialize their loved ones. They want that symbol of the special season in the Catholic faith. And it's wonderful. But for us, weed whacking goes up tenfold because you got to go trim around all these things.
You know, to that point, people, you're right. They like to, you know, beautify the
right,
the grave. And but they'll bring things there. But who ends up taking them away?
Us.
Yeah.
We do.
Because otherwise, they blow away, right? I mean, the wind will get
to them.
Well,
they start to look raggedy after a while. I mean, just being in the New England weather, you know, after a month or so, that's it. They're falling apart. So you can't have all this raggedy stuff everywhere. So, you know, we have a season, and all our rules and regulations clearly state. You put stuff out for Palm Sunday, well, guess what? A week after Easter or 2 weeks after Easter, it's gone. That's just how it is. It has to be. So we have guys driving around picking up every single one of those things.
Do you have regulations of things that you cannot place at a gravesite? And did you ever go to a gravesite where you see these stuffed animals and you start seeing things, candles.
All kinds of
I don't
things.
Know why you put a candle there.
You can't have live fires. You can't have live fires. You can't have balloons. You can't have all kinds of things.
Balloons, yeah. Really?
Well, no. And look, especially if, I mean, I hate to say it, but especially if it's a child.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
you want to commemorate them, and you want balloons because that's what they love, et cetera. So, you know, we make exceptions for some of these, but we can't leave them there for a long time because they end up actually harming the wildlife, and they, you know, it just starts to look terrible. And the thing that people have to remember, these are places of reverence. They're not there to be these carousels and these, you know, crazy places of wild decorations. It's a place of reverence. So not only for you, how you want to memorialize your loved one, you have to have respect for everybody else and realize that they're there for a reason, and that's to be reverent.
Oh. Every now and then on the news, I know you would see and hear this as much as I or anybody else would, but you hear about somebody desecrating a cemetery. I'm sure the Catholic Cemeteries Association has fallen victim to that. What happens in that case?
Well, so there's a couple of things that happen. One, most people don't realize this, but we have cameras and we know who has done it, and they are appropriately set upon by the law.
But how do you know? It's just some person with a...
Yeah, just some wild guys come in sometimes.
But how can you distinguish from one person? It's dark and it's...
Yeah, we got good cameras.
You'd have to.
I mean, that's just how it is because, yeah, so that's the first thing. Secondly, you know, if it's a family-owned monument, there's nothing we can do about it. It is their responsibility. It's their property. If some are damaged, we will call the families and say, this is what's happened. Would you like us to take care of it? Do we have your permission to take care of it? Because we can't go do anything on a family-owned monument. It's their property. So we have to ask permission. And the family will either give it to us, or in many cases, that's been there so long, you can't even get in touch with a family member anymore. Because it's been there 60, 70 years. Those families are no longer around.
Or moved or changed numbers.
Right. So sometimes we'll go ahead and do it on our own just because we need to make sure things look okay. But when we can't get in touch with them. Yeah. No, we've had very few instances of vandalism, thank God.
Good.
But when we do, we aggressively pursue resolution because it's not something that is in keeping with the spiritual side of who we are and the faith of the organization. It's, you know, there's got to be some respect for God and for what he has wrought, and that's not a way to do it.
I could never understand desecrating. I think, not that, look, I'm anti-violence and vandalism, but really, this is what you've chosen to do. You've gone to the dead. You've gone to a cemetery, defenseless. It's the dead, just let them rest in peace. How do you get off on desecrating a cemetery?
I have no answer to that. I don't understand it. And I will say that in my mind, there's a warm place waiting for them.
Okay. All right. So since keeping with the topic of cemeteries and spring and planting, Mother's Day is coming up. And I would imagine for people who, I'm trying to tie in all these different things. Some people don't have their mom around anymore. They may visit the cemetery on Mother's Day weekend. And we're talking about planting. And is there any special? I would have.
Yeah, so, you know, one thing we do every day for Mother's Day, because, first off, you know, Mary is near and dear to the hearts of the Catholic Cemeteries Association. So Mary is our mother. And for Mother's Day, what we always do is we have a special that we offer families that anybody from, actually starting tomorrow, anybody who comes in on from May 1st through May 14th and purchases a mausoleum crypt gets a free cameo, which is like a $600 savings for the family. So that's kind of a nice thing. And we do it every year for Mother's Day. It's kind of I guess it's become a known special. So I'm really happy about that. So all the cemeteries that have mausoleums in them, of which there's, I think, 13 or 14, if you purchase a crypt, you get a free cameo, which is really nice.
I remember that last year.
Yeah. Yeah, we do it every year. It's kind of become a thing.
It's the only time of year they offer the free cameo, right?
Correct.
It's
the only special that we do that anybody can kind of count on that's going to be there, we think. So, yeah, that's a big deal. And it's May, you know, and May's kind of a special month for us, especially when it comes to Mary.
I'm sorry, I'm beside myself because I can't believe it's been a year. It almost seems like not that long ago you were offering the free cameo. But if it's only around Mother's Day, then it's been a year since I've heard that.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
You've probably heard it twice, come to think of it.
Well, yeah, this is our third go around with Mother's Day, you and I.
That's
on
right.
The show. Well, speaking of May, it's an important month in the church calendar. I thought maybe you could kind of share with us what is it about the month of May that's so special?
Well, you know, as I told you, Gary, May has always been referred to as the month of Mary. And as I've mentioned just earlier and in the past, the Catholic Cemeteries Association has a deep devotion to our Blessed Mother. We even changed our logo so that, you know, when you look at it, you can see Mary, you know, that she's there and holding the baby Jesus. And, you know, we turn to her for guidance and help in dealing with the families of the archdiocese because it's such a difficult task at times because of some of the emotional stress and pain that families are feeling. You know, we need help, that spiritual side. And our mother is there to help us. So for us, May is a very special month. Now, more specifically, there are some feasts and observances that on the church calendar that fall in May that are really important. And I think one of the ones that I have always loved is the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima. So it's kind of an interesting feast, the story of Fatima.
Well, I want to hear all about it. Are there other feasts that are important in May?
Well, there are, but Fatima was, that's an apparition that you've probably kind of heard a lot about. So I'll give you the quick story. On May 13th, we celebrate the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima. Now, Fatima is a little town in Portugal, just north of Lisbon. And it's about 50 miles inland from the Atlantic. On May 13th in 1917, three young shepherd children, Lucia, Francisco, and Jacinta, were coming out to a little grotto area, and the children reported seeing a lady more brilliant than the sun. And they said, well, wow, you know, what is this? And this woman evidently spoke to these children and told them, don't tell anybody about what, you know, I've said. So, but she did tell them, I want you to come back and visit me every 13th of the month for the next 6 months. Well, it turns out that they went back and they shared with their mother, and the mother kind of was saying to her friends like it was a joke. Well, guess what? They went back on the 13th and this lady appeared again. And she never told them who she was. She just told them that, you know, I'm going to come back. And she was brilliant, like, you know, the sun. So then on 13th of June, which happened to be the Feast of St. Anthony, which happened to also be the patron of the local parish church, mm-hmm. Lucia said that the lady revealed that Francisco and Jacinta would be taken to heaven soon. But Lucia would live longer in order to spread her message and devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Now think about how that must have felt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here you have these three little kids, because they were only in their teens, young teens.
Okay.
Okay. And they're being told, hey, guess what? The two of you, you're going to be kicking the bucket soon, but you're going to hang around for a while. That's got to be tough. So anyway, he came back. The kids came back, and they shared this with the mother. And here's the problem. The local political environment was not terribly conservative at the time. It was shifting away from conservative views. Well, the sheriff basically arrested these three kids, okay, threw them in prison, and was interrogating them in order to try and divulge what it was that Our Lady had told them. Because one of the things that happened during the apparitions at Fatima was Our Lady told these children three secrets and swore them that they can't tell anybody what they are, okay? And she would let them know when they can reveal them. So this guy threw him in prison, took one of them, put him in a separate room, said he killed the other two, and he's going to kill this one if they don't, if, you know, they won't tell him the secrets. And they stuck by it. They stuck by. They did not say anything. And eventually the guy just had to end up letting him go. So no matter what they did, they could not persuade these children in the end to give up the information. Well, one of the things that Our Lady said was that on my last visit, which will be October 13th, and again, it was the 13th of every month, on October 13th, I will perform a great miracle so that people will believe. So have you ever heard of the miracle of the sun? Well,
I'm not so sure.
In Portugal, what happened? 70 to 100,000 people came to that area because they had heard that there was going to be this miracle. Now, it was a pouring day. I mean, the rain was coming down as in deluge buckets. The sun in the sky literally danced across the sky, shot towards the earth, came out of its complete place in the sky, shot towards the earth as this big glowing bulb, and then shot back up into its own place. And all of the sun came out, and immediately everything was dry. There was no more mess of mud. There was no wet anything. Everything was immediately dried. There's actual pictures of this in old newspapers from back in those days. So that was called the miracle of the sun. And that was, Our Lady had told the children that she was going to perform this miracle so that people would believe. Okay? So all these witnesses that were there, they said all their wet clothes were suddenly completely dry. All the wet ground that was muddy had and been previously soaked instantly was dry and everything was, you know, taken care of. So one of the interesting things about this was that there were three secrets. So they were released over time. As a matter of fact, the last secret they said, Our Lady said you could not release until after 1960.
Wow.
Yeah. Right? So the first secret was a vision of hell. And she allowed the children to experience a vision of hell. The second was that she recommended that everyone have a devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary and to pray the rosary every day. If they did that, she would predict an end to the Great War, which 1917, what was going on? World War One,
yeah.
Okay. And that if they did not, a second war, just as bad, would start. And it would, you would know it was coming because it would be prefaced by a night illuminated by an unknown light as a great sign that the time of chastisement was near. Well, what happened? On January 25th, or in right after World War One ended right before World War II started. The week before Germany invaded Austria, there was the bright lights of an aurora borealis that appeared over the northern hemisphere that was so bright that it was so far-reaching as far south as North Africa, Bermuda, and California. All right, so think about how bright this was. It was the widest occurrence of the aurora since 1709. People in Paris and elsewhere believed the Great Fire was burning. That's how bright it was, wow. Okay? Sister Lucia indicated that this was the sign that was foretold, and at this time she was already a nun because she was much older, and that the bishop, just over a week later, Hitler seized Austria and then within a few months invaded Czechoslovakia. And then the last part of that second secret was that the Pope, in union with all the bishops, needed to consecrate Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary in order to spread the apostasy and lies that Russia was spreading. So that was the second secret. The third secret came out, was supposed to come out in 1960, but the Pope at the time said, no, I'm not releasing this. I'm going to hold off. So that secret actually didn't come out until 2002 under Pope John Paul II. And it was basically a vision of the death of the Pope and other bishops and religious leaders. As you may remember, there was an assassination attempt on Pope John Paul II in St. Peter's Square on May 13th of 1981. When he was shot, he uttered, "Mary, help me." And as it turns out, the bullets that hit him did this circuitous route inside his body, missing every major organ, which is why he, you know, ended up to survive. So it's a pretty important feast day in terms of the church.
Wow.
It was certainly.
Yeah. I wasn't expecting to hear all that.
It's one of the few apparitions that is really approved by the church. You hear about different things happening in the world. Very few of these are actually approved by the church that have been actually researched and checked. And Fatima is one of those that is approved.
Folks, you are listening to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show, along with Director of Family Services, Chris Radlitz. I'm Gary Byron. I'm running out of time, and there was that other question that I wanted to ask you as far as the other importances of May.
So May 24th is the Feast of the Blessed Virgin Mary as Mother of the Church. Okay, so that's kind of a big deal because obviously Mother of the Church, and you remember Christ on the cross pointed to the beloved disciple, John, said, "This is son, this is your mother, okay? Mother, this is your son," which was Christ's way of saying that she is the mother of the church on earth, okay? So that's the day that celebrates that. May 26th is the Feast of the Ascension of our Lord into heaven. So you remember that Christ rose from the dead on Easter Sunday, and he spent 50 days with the apostles and, you know, doing the things that he did during that time frame. And this was the day that he ascended into heaven. Okay. And the reason that's important is because shortly after his ascension into heaven was Pentecost. So this year, May 26th is the ascension of our Lord, and a week later, June 5th, is the Feast of Pentecost. And Pentecost, of course, is the commemoration of the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles, right? And other disciples, actually, following the crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus into heaven. So that's a pretty big deal. And then May 31st is the visitation of the Blessed Mother to Elizabeth, her cousin. So I don't know if you recall, when you pray the rosary, there's four different mysteries of the rosary. The first is the joyful mysteries, followed by the glorious mysteries, followed by the sorrowful mysteries, and followed by the luminous mysteries. Luminous mysteries were just instituted by John Paul II. Okay, well, in the joyful mysteries, the second joyful mystery is the visitation of Mary to her cousin Elizabeth. And the reason that's of significance is when Mary visited Elizabeth, when she walked in the door, her baby, because they were both pregnant, Mary was pregnant with Jesus. Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist.
And she was amazed that she came to her.
And her words were, "How is it that the mother of my Lord should come to visit?" For the baby within me has leapt in my womb with joy, which the church views as a baptism of St. John the Baptist. So we talk about who was born with original sin. We were all born with original sin except for two people.
John. Right?
Three, actually. Jesus, Mary, immaculately conceived, and John the Baptist, technically, was born without original sin because he was baptized in the womb, at that moment.
Wow.
So it's a fascinating, it's a fascinating study in how all this happens. And if you think about it, you know, she had to get on a mule and travel for miles and miles. She's pregnant. She goes for miles and miles, you know, and visits her cousin Elizabeth. And all of these important things transpire, okay? The fact that the baby leaps from the room and Elizabeth says, how is it the mother of my Lord comes? She already knew that this was Jesus who was actually the Son of God, okay?
Because she wasn't even showing. I mean, and not only was she not visibly, how would she know that was even the mother of
God? That was the mother of God, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, it was just, it's great. And that's also the line where she said, you know, blessed are you amongst women. Okay, which is where we incorporate those words into the prayer of the Hail Mary. Okay, because when the angel Gabriel came, said, Mary, full of grace, God is with you, right? That's the beginning of the Hail Mary. And the ending part came from when
blessed art thou amongst women,
blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus, right? So it's kind of interesting how it all comes together and, yeah. So that's why May is such an important month for us as Catholics and, you know, for all of us.
That cleared up a lot for me, I can tell you. Folks, if you'd like some more information on the Catholic Cemeteries Association, simply visit them online at www.ccacemasinmary.org. Again, that's ccacem.org. Or you can also email the Catholic Cemeteries Association. Hey, who knows? Maybe we can get your question answered on these very airwaves. It's simple to email us. It is ccawdrc@gmail.com. Again, it's ccawdrc@gmail.com. And if you would like to make an appointment with the Catholic Cemeteries Association, they've got an 800 number, very easy to do. Hit them up. Call them. 800-505-0080. Once again, it's toll-free, 800-505-0080. For Chris Radlitz, Director of Family Services of the CCA, I'm Gary Byron. Until next Saturday, have a good one, everybody. So long.